doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy, blessed day! O happy, blessed place! O happy, blessed time! O happy, blessed path! O happy, blessed opportunity! In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
So what should we look at this morning? Posture.
I just want to say thank you for this weekend.
Thank you for the weekend.
It's much bigger than I can imagine or sign up for.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm receiving such a practice and opportunity to to connect with such a deep place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm receiving these gifts that are unexpected, like yesterday workshop. That wasn't even advertised.
An advertised workshop yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that you said earlier just how much you received just by coming. Who would guess in 48 hours?
Yeah.
And that's what you're saying this morning. Just unimagined opportunity to go deeper into practice.
Yes, it's also guidance appointment, which somehow I forget, it's a kind of deep place in practice, but also for the human to get like out of the computers, the busy life, the family obligations, all the charter. Just 2 days of break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's huge.
It's huge.
Yeah.
What you say, it sounds like it's 2 days of break from a lot of daily distraction, the computer and the chatter and.
Yeah. And be in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for those of us who live in a city, it's such an opportunity to see the seasons, mm-hmm. and see the how it's all changing. It's kind of the same pine tree, but looks so much different.
Mm-hmm.
And those pine needles, I never saw them kind of soaking in wet and being like almost like an iron, versus as I usually see them dry in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
It just whole new world, and seeing glittering water drops on tiny grass sprouts. I don't know if you see, like if you go with a flashlight, they sparkle like diamonds. Yeah, just so much kind of soaking in nature around is another precious opportunity in life to see that I'm part of this too. And it's kind of like reconnecting with an old friend. Thank you for the foods, healthy vegetarian meals, and hermitage, and clean bathrooms, and monastery maintained with such a care that brings tears to my eyes, as I also feel part of that, and I receive that as somebody's care of me, and I want to extend and be part of that care. And thank you for the ride to the monastery. It's hard for someone without a car to get here, and organizing, even forgetting the towel and getting a guest towel. It's such a such a kindness to a being that is beyond a conditioned idea of getting stuff.
So I hear you talking or saying a lot about the support, being able to receive this support offered in the care of the monastery, just appreciating that and feeling the care for Pasha in that, and just acknowledging all of the gifts of, you know, the beauty of nature, watching it in its many seasons and taking that in, and so many things. And that you mentioned that it just receiving in that way also generates wanting to give.
Yes. Being part of that magic of kindness. And that was another place from yesterday workshop of what I saw in that moving into awareness and seeing Pasha with all his parts, seeing the container that contains it all, and moving beyond. It's just pure magic there. That is that is love there, and love contains it all, and kindness, and they all come together. Love and kindness and magic. That's where I saw the glimpses, kind of. Awareness resides.
Wow. So referring to a powerful workshop we had with the guide yesterday, and that opportunity to have, you know, to practice stepping back and seeing Pasha and all that makes up Pasha, that human we call Pasha, and then stepping back into awareness and stepping back and saying that, you know, you really felt the love in that. And the kindness in that, as a step back into the awareness that could hold it all.
Yes, I felt like as I step back, I'm falling back, and someone is catching me. There is someone that is all so big, and it's safe to be there. It's not I'm going to fall on my back. It's I'm getting kind of held by that. And that holds everything with such a kindness and care. and beauty are death. I see nature and freshness. It's all those things all meet there.
All those things meet there.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, being held in that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Tom.
So, about every other time I come here, it's magical for me, and about every other time I come here, it's hell.
So, we had a workshop on undulation yesterday. Sure. That sounds like a perfect.
We sure did. So it was a little bit of hell this time. And it kind of peaked for me. Well, I was very excited to come here for months and months. And after I signed up, resistance started to slowly build, and it peaked for me the day prior to coming here when I was overwhelmed by a depression I have not felt in years, completely paralyzed. My wife was able to help me through that, help me get packed and get out the door. And so I showed up. And I've had a lot of resistance since I've been here. So last time I mentioned that it was magical, conditioning wanted the expectation of it to be magical again. And it was a setup, because it wasn't just the experience I was going to have, it was we were going to have a certain kind of experience. Mm-hmm. And I think it peaked for me yesterday when I misunderstood the up experience. I took that to be my mentor, which you know because you're my partner. And what came up was a lot of self-hate that I did it wrong. Somebody's going to find out, you found out, which I had a hard time with, that somebody knew I did it wrong. So then the voices came up again, let's get out of here, let's just go. And I've left retreats here early before, because my head was screaming at me so much. And the gate has always been open for me to come back, which I'm grateful for. So I watched the voices, and this time what I did, I'll tell you, with the exception of the depression I felt two or three days ago, I've seen this enough now where feelings don't necessarily have to take action. So there was a time when if I didn't feel like it, I wouldn't get out of bed and go to work. Mm-hmm. Or if I didn't feel like it, I wouldn't go work out. Or if I didn't feel like it, I wouldn't sit and meditate. I've come far enough along now that I think I pretty much show up no matter what. And so
I just want to stop you there, because there's a lot in that. So that you were just saying that, you know, there was a time when you would let feelings dictate behavior, and you were talking about how resistance was just on you about coming here, trying to ruin, or you might say, just trying to get in between you and your experience of being at the monastery this time. And that was one of those examples when you hung in there, even though you reported that voice just yelling at you and telling you that you were having the wrong experience, whatever that means. You know, and that you needed to leave, and someone just stayed. Someone stayed through that.
And as a credit to my practice, I don't think the voice was as loud as it has been in the past. It seems to be weakening. It was there. Mm-hmm. And what I did with it was, okay, let's go to the recorder. I talked it all out into the recorder. what my mentor had to say, and I'm still here, and I'm still here.
And you turned to a practice tool, and you used it.
Yes.
And you had the mentor there, and you're still here.
I'm still here.
You're still here. And people can't see this on the recorder, but there's kind of a big smile, too. And it sounds like you saw a pattern too, where, you know, coming to the monastery and there's this, you know, wonderful experience, and then ego sets in, what you described, of just trying to set the human up so that maybe he'll turn this time and not, you know, he won't get his bags back, he won't stay, and yet. Lucinda.
I experienced two big realizations. Mm-hmm. One had to do with the feeling of support and being taken care of. I am from the mountains, and the whole concept of heat is a good thing. And the furnace makes characteristic noises. Click, 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 boom.
Here at the monastery, the furnace, yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. And I spent some time awake last night, and every time I heard the furnace, my heart just like, how wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, boom. Heat. You know, it was just wonderful. And the other thing was the whole idea of seeing how I cause myself to suffer so I can drop that. I've taken that to a whole new level, I think. And what I experienced as a result of the workshop and everything is I have a shirt that I brought with me. On the back it says "Giddy up," and I just feel like, you know, let's just be grateful for everything and get life happening. Mm-hmm. You know, so giddy up and the furnace and the big takeaways.
Giddy up in the furnace. Giddy up! What a great, yeah. And to, you know, life is giddy upping.
Yeah. And with so, me or without?
With you or without you? And it sounds like you just had an experience of like, you know, count me in. I want to giddy up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And just really appreciating one of its giddy ups is that furnace and the heat that was provided, and just being able to receive that.
That's a great thing.
It was a great thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Monica.
Let's see. I've been kind of in this process / content prior to coming here around work. And there's a few things that I've heard on the radio, on the Project Joy calls, that have been really helpful. And then being here, I got a lot of clarity. One is... how you feel is content.
Uh-huh, how you feel is content, yes.
And then this idea of coming back to the heart instead of coming back to ego. So like being in conditioned mind, but then coming back to beatings for being in conditioned mind versus coming back to like a loving place.
Yes, yes.
And then the third thing is, ego will always get you around things that you care about. Mm-hmm. So whatever I care about, there'll be a lot of effort to...
There's a lot of...
A lot of karma.
A lot of voices around. Yeah. And
So it's around like having interactions that don't feel good after, or feeling like defensive or... And so I noticed that a lot of times when I'm snappy at work, especially, or with my family, it's because I feel like I'm being judged or criticized, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. somehow, you know, not doing it right or not enough or not doing enough. And so I was looking at this this idea of like how much I care about doing a good job or being skillful or practicing or, you know, all the things in my life that I care about. And so in two instances, there was a snappy, like a high energy interaction. And I had the opportunity to talk about it with the person afterwards. And in one instance, it was my sister, and she said, "Well, I was just afraid for you." And then in the second instance, the person was like, "Well, I was just worried about you." But what I heard was, "You're like incompetent somehow," and or "You're doing the wrong thing," or, you know, feeling like somebody was projecting something on me. But the point is that it had never occurred to me that, like, I know that when I'm unskillful, I've come to realize I care about something, and I care a lot about it, so I feel defensive, or so it's a way that ego can get in there. But underneath that, there's a lot of caring and wanting to do something. And in the same way, it had never occurred to me that when people are snappy with me, that they're coming from a place of caring about me and not criticism. So it's just like being able to reframe that, what ego says is criticism, as maybe they care about me. Just, I don't know, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's big, you know, as you say, you know, it, just getting in there and all the places that are so dear to the heart and just, you know, causing a lot of grief. And to realize that, you know, in interactions with people that you really care about, when conditioning's in there with a commentary about what's going on, it's, you hear that, you know, it's criticism, it's, you know, you're not doing it right, and that generates the snappiness. And then to really check it out with people and find out, oh my gosh, none of that was true. There was worry, there was concern, just as it would be for you.
Yeah, and I think it started with me being able to recognize that my behavior is not how I feel, you know. That's not a reflection of what's going on for me. And underneath all of that, there's a big heart. And so getting to that, like, sort of, not forgiveness, but just allowing that, like, not judging myself for, was just opened up this whole different way to see how other, they're also caught in something, and maybe there's something caring underneath that, even though they are yelling at me or like not acting skillfully, but underneath that. And then ego would just, then it just piles on, right? Well, they're being mean, well, I'm gonna be, you know, like, they're judging me, so I'm judging them, and then it's just like,
you could just imagine, really, you could just imagine ego having a conversation with itself, you know?
And it just keeps the two hearts just get farther and farther apart.
Those two hearts that just want to, which are one heart that just want to be connected,
right,
are just, you know, you see that process of separation and how painful it is. Yeah. And now that you've experienced and seen that for yourself, what's so for you that that initial reaction is one of caring, one of love, you can now see it in other people too, even though, you know, that there's that, maybe that initial, you know, ego interaction of,
Right, and then the separation is painful for both of us, you know.
And I project maybe then the connection is also wonderful for both of you when that happens.
I've been looking at, I think, what's called the chain of interdependent origination first movement sensation, thought about an emotion, an emotional reaction, and then a decision about doing something. And everything past sensation is conditioned. And I was in an accident, as you know, about 6 or 7 weeks ago, and since then, several times a day, sensations arise that I've never had before. Lived almost 70 years without these particular sensations, and now I have them. And they are sensations. And so I'm really getting a workshop in what happens next.
What happens next after those sensations, after those new sensations?
The movement is usually, for whatever reason, some adrenaline rise in the body. It doesn't have to be much of anything. Just the adrenaline goes up, and the sensations that follow it are, as I said, really unfamiliar. And then a whole cascade of conditioned response. And it's helping me watch that just in, like, what am I trying to say? It's helping me watch that even though there's when any sensation arises.
I'm hearing what you're saying. It's like, so here's a person that's been involved in awareness practice for a long time, and now there's this opportunity to watch something that's never occurred before, a whole set of brand new sensations, and to watch what gets attached to them.
And, you know, the clearest part of it is everything that arises after awareness of sensation is the illusory I. That's what it is. It's making meaning. It's just bringing into existence worry or distress of some sort or whatever it is, just to keep itself, just because, let's see, I don't know why.
But that's what it does. You know, and you're watching it do what it does. And, you know, again, I project it, oh boy. Here's the person that went through a very traumatic experience and now capitalize on that.
Here's Potter.
Here's Potter.
Boy, it has worked over time to do that.
But it picks someone that's has practicing awareness and is watching the whole setup.
Just witnessing.
Hope you'll let us know. Penny.
That previous conversation brought to mind this little epiphany I had the other day.
An epiphany?
Yeah. And actually, I think I said it was a little epiphany. I think conditioning said it was a little epiphany.
You know, it isn't conditioning. I noticed that the other day. It loves to say little, small, just a bit.
I had an epiphany. And so I was in the car, and I was very upset about a political thing that was happening, and really depressed, really upset and angry. So I started saying a sort of a comforting kind of mantra thing. And so the anger dissipated enough that then there was room for something to drop in.
Wow.
I just want to stop. That was a great practice tool you just referred to, of going to a mantra to allow the space for life to drop in new information that wouldn't have been available had one just kept chewing on, you know, the conditioned thoughts.
Yeah, and what I was really seeing what arose was that there is no problem with being angry. Mm-hmm. There's just a problem with dwelling there, you know, staying there. Mm-hmm. And that there's a lot of energy in that anger, but that underneath the anger, as was being referred to earlier, underneath the anger is deep caring. Mm-hmm. And the anger can be a flag to go to the deep caring.
Wow.
And that what conditioning wants more than anything is for us to stay at the level of anger.
Yeah.
Which most of the time I think most of us do.
Yeah.
And the whole point of anger, because conditioning doesn't care about anything.
Yeah.
The whole point of the anger is to keep us a level above that deep caring. So when I dropped down into that deep caring, what came up for me was, this is what's real, mm-hmm. and there's nothing stronger than this. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
That deep caring is what's real, and there's nothing stronger than that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so no wonder there's so much energy devoted by conditioning to keep us away from that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the same thing can happen with fear or, you know, really just kind of those uncomfortable, big uncomfortable emotions. And I saw another thing which was helpful for me. And that is, so the big emotions can keep me away from that caring. But now I get it. That they're triggered. They're a sign to drop down to that. But the other thing that Sherry has sometimes talked about is that we can get into sort of saying, well, those big uncomfortable things are too scary to enter. I don't want to go there. Mm-hmm. And because I'm a caring person, I don't want to, you know, go there. And what I saw for me was that if I say, I'm a caring person, so I don't want to know about these unfortunate things or these things, that for me, that's operating on the level of an identity.
Uh-huh.
And the identity is, I'm a caring person.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But that's not the experience of caring.
Wow. Wow.
And so to go there,
mm-hmm.
trusting, and this is, I guess that this is where I would say years of practice,
mm-hmm.
trusting that there's a place to go below that.
Wow.
Just felt huge. It was a big epiphany, wasn't it?
It was a big epiphany. You know, don't let it tell you, just a little one. Yeah. Wow. Just see, that about caring.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm, you know, it's an identity that would say, oh, I'm a caring person. I don't want to have to.
It's true for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to go there. It's just be too hard for me. And to mm-hmm. realize that's an identity, and the heart just wants to care.
Yeah.
And wants to go in there.
Yeah.
And just wants to, as you described, go down, you know, beneath what the conditioned reaction would be, and find that place of
mm-hmm.
really deep love and deep care.
Yeah, and the big lie is that's the vulnerable place.
Yeah.
And the strong place is the anger or whatever is above that. And it's just the opposite.
It's the opposite.
And it was just so clear to me that if I can get down to that heart place,
mm-hmm.
That there's no more trustworthy place.
There's no more trustworthy place than the heart place.
Yeah.
It's the place of the most power.
Yeah.
The most strength.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the least vulnerable. And, well, the strength and the vulnerability, would you say.
Yeah. That's where I think language begins to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
What we've attached to vulnerable, but
yeah.
So that just felt really huge and very, you know, we talk about ever expanding faith,
mm-hmm.
and it felt like that. It felt like that it's been a long process to take me to that moment of getting it. That going to that vulnerable place is the safest place to be, the strongest place to be.
Yeah. Again. That's interesting, that adjective long, I mean that the descriptive of long gets
mm-hmm.
put in, and maybe it was, but you know, it's just, I think that's just a beautiful description of practice.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We can't get there until
we get there.
We get there, and it's a practice.
Yeah.
And as you, and it's all the the practice that's been done enabled this receiving.
Yeah,
and moving into this place of place of strength, place of power, and a place about, you know, talk about wanting to contribute and be effective in the world.
Thank you. I just quickly, I'm just hearing people talk, it's so, you know, that connection of the conscious compassion and action that that Sherry's been talking about, and I've mentioned any number of times because it was such a great teaching for me that being with a group of facilitators with Sherry, this is years ago, before facilitating a retreat, and one of the co-facilitators saying, gosh, I'm really nervous. And Sherry said, maybe, or maybe it's the energy of life arriving. And I just saw how that place of, because it's interesting, whole mind thing, but I've been looking at the exact same thing of how that anger, that irritation, that frustration, that really underneath of it is that level of caring, that deep well of caring, and that perhaps those things get labeled, that sort of higher energy, is just the energy of life arriving that could be what's there for that deep caring to be expressed. So yeah, I mean, it's labeled anger because it feels oppositional. It feels like, I don't like what you're doing and I'm going to do something about that. But if it came from a nothing wrong place, if it just came from that deep caring, quote, the other person on the other side of that would actually be completely irrelevant to it. Do you know? In the sense that it's not about that person. Which I think is what happens for me, is, gosh, this thing, I care about it and you don't. And of course, the condition, it feels like the condition reason, if there were one that happens, is I'm taken out of the experience of care. I'm just in that duality. I'm right, you're wrong. And just in 3 or 4 seconds, I'm going to be on the wrong side. So it just feels like that staying with that or learning that exquisite skill, really, maybe that's the opportunity for us in it, as people are talking about, that what I call anger or frustration, irritation, whatever, if that becomes the cue to go down to that deeper, grounded well, and to, I don't know what the word would be, maybe facilitate that energy to be available for that care.
Yeah, so what I'm seeing as you say that is like, you know, that place of nothing wrong, all of those things arise.
And right.
Well,
it's like we were talking about with the new sensations. I mean, they're just there.
They're just there.
Right? And so to take it personally and to try to decide which ones are good emotions to have and which ones are bad emotions, and what does it mean about me and what I, and how can I be skillful and...
And not an accident that they're arising, and then to have the presence to dive down and see what is the gift there. What is it that's, you know, arriving to be expressed?
Yeah.
And trusting.
And trust it.
And trusting that the goodness of that fun. Or the...
And even what I saw when you were saying that is even that surrendering of, you know, Sherry talks about waking up in the morning, I'm available, life.
Yeah.
You know, so it could be that same thing. I'm going to practice with that.
Yeah.
That, you know, arises and just go, I'm available, life. You know, whatever it is, point me in the direction because this is a lot of energy.
Uh-huh.
And I am absolutely ready to use it in whatever is the best for all.
Yeah.
And that it's not up to me to decide what that is.
Exactly. You know, I mean, life is the one that gave us the gift of waking up in the morning.
Yes.
In the first place,
what a good
point. Can't take that for granted.
Giving energy, the energy arriving.
It gives us the energy, and it's like, okay, use this form. Do what you will. And I'm available.
And it's so good, because if we do see it in that way as a gift from life, then in that process, I actually receive the gift. The process of, you know, feeling bad about it or managing it, for me, managing it is a big one. Managing it in some way, trying to be skillful with it, that feels like such a way of not receiving the gift.
Yeah.
Almost of deflecting it because it closes it down instead of opens it up.
Wow. Yeah, that's really essential, it seems. Yeah, just being able to take it in and receive it is the thank you.
Yeah,
is the act of gratitude.
It is.
And who knows where it's going to go from there.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And that resistance, that shutdown is ego.
Yes.
Saying no.
Yeah.
No, it's not us.
Yeah.
I mean, not, you know, words. not authenticity.
It's not authenticity.
It's
why that conscious, compassionate action is so brilliant, because it's like that's the Aikido move.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's happening, and all it is just a huge but really tiny movement to the life track, instead of going with the condition track of like, yeah, this is bad, and I hate this, and I can't believe them, and you know, blah blah blah. But just whoosh, you know, opening all the doors and windows, letting it come through.
Wow. Yes. As you say, tiny but huge move that we practice.
That we practice.
That we practice.
Yeah.
Wow. Step on in.
I have a lot of resistance to following life unfolding, and many times I find it great. I mean, it's reassuring.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of resistance and now in particular I was thinking, you know, a surgeon, I'm not a surgeon, right? But a surgeon who need to do a surgery need to be very precise.
Uh-huh.
And this precision comes to do it right or do it wrong, the voices are saying at least. If it's a surgeon to do a surgery,
uh-huh.
You can't say, well, see what life says, you know. There's, well, you could say maybe my voices are saying, well,
don't own them.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is.
So those voices in your head are coming up with an example of a place where maybe you can't let life lead, and it wants to argue its case.
And even if outside of the job, I feel like I can let life to guide.
Uh-huh.
When I'm
uh-huh.
working, I feel like, well, I can't just say, well, see what happened, we're just going to check instead
uh-huh.
of doing the surgery, for example.
Uh-huh.
Or going right and chopping the left one just because I feel like, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And it was a wrong leg.
Uh-huh.
So I have this, this tremendous stress in some ways, and anxiety, because I feel like letting life to guide me
mm-hmm.
is beautiful,
mm-hmm.
relaxing,
mm-hmm.
reassuring,
mm-hmm.
and I can be in the present.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think about work,
mm-hmm.
I feel like, wait a moment, that's the story, and I get back to that all the time.
So there, it sounds like there's this constant conversation. The heart just really does resonate with that idea of following life.
It sounds
as if there is an experience of that with Stefania.
Yeah.
And then there's this other conversation that starts up that says, oh yeah, but you can't do that, and then it wants to list all the circumstances where that's not going to work, when indeed those circumstances are here in front of you right now.
Yeah.
You know, it has this whole, conversation going.
Yeah, I'm stuck there, though.
It feels like a really stuck place.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And like yesterday with the workshop, when I finished the second person, I was like, oh yes, you know, where I put my attention, then I can live. That's how I live my life. So if I focus on, you know, the gift of life, the beautiful thing,
mm-hmm.
and then there was the third experience and everything was crashed. And I was like, wait a moment.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're both basically in some ways fake, because I can get out of it, so I'm not them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in this nothingness, which is kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't reassuring at all. I actually end up with a lot of anxiety at the end, instead of feeling I'm part of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, which went back or connect with, yes, but if I need to cut straight, I can't say I just feel like doing a round surgery, for example, or, you know, I'm in the medical field, but I'm not a surgeon, so I feel like, well, if I do this exercise instead of the other one, maybe the person has more problem than less. So there's this continuous anxiety coming up to making some choices in some, like I can cook anything and it's fine. I can cook beans or tofu, who cares, you know? But if I need to do this thing or the other and one thing can actually cause more problem, then I might panic, jump in and...
I just wonder, have you picked up the recorder and talked about this with the mentor?
I did a recording today, yes. And I did write the picture yesterday, and that actually when I clarified that part. But today, for example, what I was doing, the basically after I did the, this morning I did the recording, yes, right after I listened again to the guidance meeting with Sherry, which to me, the guidance meeting was again a good one, like going to life and it was fine and everything else. But then when I did the recording, it was like, it wasn't basically helping, so I was like, okay, I think I'm gonna just look around the trees and the color and the walking and being this, being here. So I can feel that, but again, when I'm out of work, when I'm at work, I really find it hard to see life guiding me because there's this fear every time to do something wrong. Because
wow,
I feel like,
that sounds like a great place to practice.
Yeah,
you know, to just really to watch that whole thing, you know, and to it sounds like you let life guide you this morning, and just going out to look at the trees and knowing just intuitively what it is that was just going to bring you presence.
Yes,
and I mean, it sounds a lot like what the process going on is a lot like what Tom described to begin with. You know
exactly.
That feeling or that connection that feels so authentic, and then the resistance arises. With it's, you know, blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, it's whole conversation about what if, you know, and then you know, then the intuition comes in, and it's yes, no, back here, back to what's authentic, and so it's a practice. It's a practice to use all the tools to keep coming back, coming back, coming back. Yeah. It wants to make its case.
Yeah.
Is there anything more about that?
No. I guess there's time, hopefully.
Time, practice.
Practice, yeah.
Rebecca.
You know, I can so relate to what was just shared because there's this strong karma in here that if I just know the answer, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been pointed out to me so many times around here that when, you know, so I... You know, we talk about in terms of I'm going to condition mind to look for the answer. And I've heard that a zillion times, but I didn't distinguish that particular experience until, you know, maybe about the 15,000th time. But it is such a place of, so when those what if, but yeah, okay, but what if in this situation, da 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 da, and then, you know, It's the guy has talked about it as solving problems that aren't there.
Yes.
And there's such a lure to go there because it could be there.
And if I'm prepared.
And if I'm prepared,
yes.
And that, oh my God, it is such a seductive thing. Because then if I'm prepared and I know the right answer and then I know I won't hurt someone.
Yeah.
And there it is, goes back to that conversation of the deep caring that's underneath.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, oh gosh, I remember talking to someone, I mean, I think I've even shared this before in group, but it was such a powerful experience. I was talking to a spiritual director that I had back when the Rwanda genocides were going on. I forget the two tribes, the Tutsis
and the
So they were at it, and I had read an article that I was so upset about, and I you know, when the French came in and they were begging them to please kill us because they're going to torture us if you don't. And I remember taking this to my spiritual brain, going, "What would you do? What is a person doing?" You know, I was very upset because I need, you know, I could just so. And he said, "I think what gets missed in here is the love that's underneath that." Mm-hmm. And he was talking about me, not the, not them, not the French. He was talking about the love in me that gets missed. So I got to, but what would you do? What would a person do? Mm-hmm. I can't. You know, this airy fairy trust life, blah blah blah, all this stuff. But what would you actually do? You know, and it takes, in my experience, it took a tremendous, and it takes, I don't want to say this like I've arrived, a tremendous amount of courage to go to that place that Penny was describing of caring, and not worry about the other stuff that's not even real. I wasn't there making that choice. I wasn't there. It wasn't relevant. But I got so worked up as if I were and could be. I could be in that situation or something similar where I would have to, you know, and then the ego just, that's where the harvesting of the energy that comes gets the human all worked up. But what if? And then it just harvests the energy, and what's available is to sink down to the love, and then the human, and I guess the world by extension, gets that energy instead of the, place.
Wow. It is the whole conversation this morning, isn't it? Just that, you know, energy rising, and then, you know, it gets, you know, that distraction, or we think that it means something that it doesn't.
Yes.
And then, you know, to stay present to the energy rising and be able to sink down into what's true.
Yeah. Oh,
that it deep caring.
It's that choice point of stay with the what if conversation and keep getting sort of noodling around it. I'm sure this could be helpful if I knew the answer. Or going to letting it go.
Yeah.
That choice point is just such a, I mean, courage is the only virtue, I think, that helped. There is like, what is it? And 20 seconds of insane courage just to not to go, tremendous pull.
Just not go with it. And to just, or to go with it so many times and see that's not going where I want to go.
That's right.
You know? Yeah. And then wearing it out. And
Oof. Yeah. Such a good deal, though, I mean, it's such a much better alternative once we...
Such a better alternative. Really, really. And just to know, what a miracle to sit in these rooms and to have this discussion and to have a practice that allows us to experience that.
That's exactly where I was going to, is this gratitude, because where else in the world would support that 20 seconds of insane courage? Because most everything supports the, you know, out in the world, everything supports the, what are we going to do? You know, pull this, or try that, or join this, or protest that, or, you know, all of the everything, instead of, and I'm not saying any of those things are, you know, in and of themselves opposed to it, but it's that incessant doing. Rather than the dropping down, and what a gift to have a sangha and a practice and a guide that models that and supports us in that.
I mean, it takes me back to what Pasha was saying too, you know, it's just to have this place to come to that allows the opening for that 20 seconds of insane courage, you know, the practice of being out of doing into just being in here.
We're lucky people.
Susan.
So I was, I've been looking at what I'm calling the grace of there's nothing wrong. So when that was talked about, you know, going on retreat and having a great experience one time and then coming. So I have this piece of content in my life that ego says, you've got this piece of content, so now you should be enlightened. So it's sort of like coming to the monastery. So when I would come on retreat, and then I came to the monastery for a period of time, and my experience of it, ego told me what it was going to look like to sign up to come and live here for a bit. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like a retreat, mm-hmm. right? And those of you who live here know that
it is a retreat, but ego thinks of it as a retreat.
Right. Yeah. And so there's this thing that I've been practicing with. So because this was going on and I didn't know it, that, okay, you've got this piece of content, so now no need to, what it was saying underneath was, this is big enough. Kind of like coming to the monastery. So if you're, when you're at the monastery, that's big enough that you should just be able to be here all the time. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't my experience. That it was a place to practice being here all the time. Yeah. It didn't necessarily facilitate my being here.
Right.
And so this, same with this piece of content. Yeah, it's trying to use that the same way. Well, now you've got this big piece of content, so now you'll be able to be here all the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm calling this thing the grace of it's all okay, because I've been walking around seeing, just like I saw when I lived here, that I'm still me. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm still me, uh-huh. and I'm doing the very best I can, mm-hmm. and I like that showing up thing. I'm showing up to my commitments. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean Saint Susanna floating off into the sunset, open-hearted compassion, everything sparkles, is happening all the time.
Right.
But it does mean that I am having this grace of seeing, and it's still all okay. Mm-hmm. It's still all okay. Mm-hmm. I yell at the kids, mm-hmm. I bark at the husband, mm-hmm. I stomp around, I see the beauty of nature, I pat my dogs, I love life, I sit on the cushion, and sometimes I'm able to follow the breath, and sometimes I'm not, and it's still okay. And if you had told me that, however many years ago, that's what was going to happen, it would have made zero sense.
Yeah.
Because the only reason ego allowed me to practice is it thought it could get me convinced that it was going to look a certain way, mm-hmm. and it could always torture me and hold that out of my reach.
Wow.
But this is it.
Wow.
You know, the good, the bad, the ugly, the sparkles, the not so sparkly. Mm-hmm. And anytime we're attached, mm-hmm. I see for myself, anytime I'm attached, especially if I have one of those moments where I walk out and I'm in heaven, we have that heaven, walking along with the dogs, they're pulling me and poof, I'm in heaven. And then right away, ego wants to grab that. Yeah, see, all you got to do is practice and be in heaven all the time, right? No, all I got to do is not listen to that. And then I was also thinking about the precision of the moment. So I like the image of the surgeon, right? Because mm-hmm. my experience is that I'm going to do way better surgery mm-hmm. when I come right here. Mm-hmm. All my skill, all my whatever, boom, right. I'm completely animated.
Right.
And so, on my job, I'm not a surgeon either. Certainly way better at it when I'm here.
Way better at your job when you're here.
Way better at everything.
Yes.
So it's the one time I cut myself in the kitchen one time, it was because I wasn't here. Mm-hmm. And because I poo-pooed some information about not cutting a frozen bagel. So I came through, just put that in the microwave and then saw it. No, I gotta, I'm in a hurry. Slip! The day's over, right? Gotta go to the doctor, get the stitch, So it's just funny how ego wants to tell us if we come completely into the moment, we're not going to be ourselves. We're not going to have our academic training. We're not going to have all of our experience. Right. No.
Yeah.
We come here.
Yes.
We have a lot. I find I have a lot better chance at presence and compassion for whatever's going on.
Really, access to the academic training and the information from life.
Yes.
I mean, what a good,
what's here.
Yeah, yeah.
Which doesn't necessarily look the same.
Right, right.
All the time.
Yeah, yeah. So just, it sounds like and just having this wonderful, well, I don't know whether wonderful, but you know, as you said, this experience of nothing being wrong, and that that coming to this place where the content is always going to be all over the map, and it's never going to be, enlightenment is never going to look as conditioning would tell us that, you know, it's going to get to this place of, you know, just handling everything perfectly, and that, you know, and but getting to a place where even the blow-ups and the, you know, yell at the husband, yell at the kids, saw your hand with a bagel, whatever, you know. It's, I mean, with a knife, not a bagel. But, you know, that it, there's this place to live with it all, of just this acceptance and, like, yeah.
Well, and I noticed, too, that by bringing myself compassion, it's not like justification or rationalization. You know, I do go back and make apologies and behave different and have sweet compassion for myself. And then I brainstorm ways that, you know, with the kids, you know. But there's such a relief in doing it here first.
Yes.
You know, and stopping and pausing and taking that breath, making sure I've eaten something. Am I warm? You know, yeah, that wasn't real skillful, was it? All right.
Yeah.
Well, we can start the day over.
Yeah, we get to have information again from life.
Yeah,
Assist us in being made possibly more skillful.
And it's not the information ego's giving, which is, one more time.
You were
depressed and mean. Why practice? You know, it's where ego would have it. Not just, come back here and bring yourself a lot of love. Got to see one more time how it worked.
Yeah.
How it didn't work.
And as you say, in that place of coming back to the love, then maybe you get some really good information.
Right. Yeah, that's certainly my experience.
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks.
Thank you. Oops. Thank you all.